All right. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, today I have on my heart to continue. Last week, in keeping with the Advent theme, we did a living hope. Today I'm going to do a living faith. A living faith. Today our theme is faith. And there are some things that we're going to look at when it comes to the Christmas story that I believe will be a blessing to you as we open up the scripture. We're going to see some lessons from Mary and Joseph in their walk of faith and how that applies to our life. So let's pray as we approach the word. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for an opportunity during this time of year to be light in this world. Thank you, Father God, for the seeds that were sown Friday night. And Father God, the songs, the anointing on the songs that were there on that village hall steps. Father, thank you for an opportunity to be light. And thank you, Father God, that for our lives personally, Lord, that we would have an opportunity to have a living hope and a living faith. That people will see something living and active in us. That it will draw men and women, children, seniors, families to the gospel of Jesus Christ. To be born again. To find a family here at Westchester Family Church, Father, that you would use our church in that way as well. So, Father, we thank you for your word today, that it will impact us, change us, and help us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Praise God. I want to let you know that just a fun side note. Right as we were finished, St. Francis, the local Catholic parish, they were getting ready to come up and sing right after us. And we got so many fist pumps, high fives, and I got a hug from the priest.
Amen.
And he said, God bless you.
Oh,
God bless you.
God.
And one of the things I noticed is that our songs were the only ones that truly pointed to
Jesus.
Praise in this
God.
Advent season. And I thought, you know, we're here. We're doing it, right?
Yes.
We're being light in this community. We're believing God. Amen. And I just was encouraged by that. I was encouraged by that, and I think you should be as well. Thank you for all of you who helped to make that evening possible. A lot of hard work goes into something like that on an ongoing basis. And I think very much of Reverend Ennis and Reverend Christine, how much work and effort and preparation for the ukulele band. It's not just something that's just haphazardly thought about. It is something that I believe, as Pastor Christine said, is an assignment for us. Amen? All right, Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. We're going to look at the Christmas story with just a fresh eyes. You know, sometimes we get a little bit numb to the Christmas story. I don't think we should, but I'm just, you know, if we gloss over things, oh, well, we've already read that. Oh, I've heard that. You know, I've been a Christian all my life, and here we go. But I think it's important that sometimes we stop, slow it down a little bit, and starting in verse 18, let's look at some things and how we can apply some of these truths to our lives today. Because God's Word, everything in God's Word is there for our benefit.
Yep.
That we would learn to walk with Him, grow up in the things of God. So verse 18 is where we're going to begin today in Matthew chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And so this was done that might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife. And he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, this is where we're going to kind of just pause just for a moment. We're going to look, first of all, I want to look at Joseph's faith. We're talking about a living faith today. Yeah. A living faith. Yeah. And I want you to know that, think about if it was you. If you're a man in here, or if you're a lady in here, think about if it was you as young Mary. Because both of those truths, the reality of this heavy weighted situation comes to bear. And the first thing that could have come about is confusion. Am I right? A lot of confusion. How did this happen? I've never known you. In other words, I haven't been intimate with you, right? How did this happen? There's a lot of confusion going on. Could have gone on. Probably, if we're really honest and we look at this story, did go on. Okay? The human reality of God coming to visit mankind was huge. And it interrupted somebody's ordinary life. And made it extraordinary. When you got born again, God interrupted your everyday life. And can make it extraordinary. If you learn the principles of faith, and I believe there are some lessons we can learn from Joseph and Mary that can impact us for this Christmas season. The first lesson is that Mary and Joseph walked with character. They walked with character and integrity. We see this borne out because notice what the scripture said there, that in verse 19, Joseph, her husband, being a just man. This guy had some character. In other words, when nobody's looking, are you still doing the right thing?
Yes.
Let that apply to your life as well. Because it should be a checkup for us. What's our character like? What is our character? Our decisions that we make when no one else is looking. Obviously, Joseph was a just man, and God knew he was a just man because he entrusted Joseph to be the earthly father of the Savior of the world.
Hallelujah.
This man apparently had character. He had integrity. So Mary and Joseph chose character over confusion, and they chose character over compromise. You see, what happens with us is the currents and the winds of this earth and the culture that we live in will try to blow you off course from what God has already said to you. It doesn't matter if you're a young person or old person, God still will try to blow you off course. They'll try to derail you at every chance. That's the enemy's job. He's here to rob, steal, kill, and destroy. But thank God we've got Jesus. And he said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly, super abundantly. God, in his awesome wisdom, gives us the ability to rise above some of that junk that keeps trying to blow us off course. Right? Can you imagine what Joseph felt like? Wait a second. We're planning my marriage with this beautiful young maiden. And now we find out she's pregnant. Wait a second, it wasn't me. And Mary's like going, I don't It's the Lord, right? And we see that. We see that in Luke. Turn over real quick to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Glory to God. We see that God visits Elizabeth, right? He visits Elizabeth, and then and Zacharias, remember that? Right? And then in verse 26, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." This woman was a woman, a young woman, a teenager who had incredible integrity. Integrity. She had a relationship with God. And it says, "And behold, you'll conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" In other words, "I've never been intimate with a man." The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. "Now indeed, Mary, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Notice what verse 38 says. This is amazing. "And Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." See, Mary and Joseph both had the opportunity to compromise, to give in to confusion, but instead they chose faith because of the character of the people they were, the relationship with God that they had. Now, what about you and me? You know, sometimes God puts things in our hearts, or we find ourselves in confusing situations. Do we give in to the compromise, try to come up with our own plan? Remember, Joseph was tempted that way, right? "I'll just put her away quietly," right? "I'm just going to put her away quietly," right? "Because I don't know how to explain this. This is awkward. So I'm just going to quietly kind of fade out of the situation," right? God had other plans, but Joseph still chose God's way. Why do we know that? Because in the midst of that confusion, of him not compromising, his character was what held him. His character and his relationship with God. And when the angel visited him, he was like, "Okay, this is what we got to do." You see, he yielded. He yielded to Yahweh. You know, sometimes when we are faced with a step of faith, an opportunity, or even a difficult situation that we have to power through by faith, right? We have an opportunity to yield to God. We have an opportunity to yield. Now, I thought about the word yield. And years ago, we were doing some traveling ministry, and we were on the road a lot on I-95. Back and forth between New York and Florida and the South. And you know, that was a long trip. You'd have to get on the entrance ramp, you know. And I realized not a lot of drivers know what yield means. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever noticed that.
That's right.
Yield does not mean stop. Right? And nor does it mean power through you.
Yeah.
Yield is lay back a little bit, but keep going. And then power up. And that's the reason why there's an entrance ramp. To get you up to speed, not so that you can stop at the end of it. And so I did a lot of observation during that season of our life of traveling, and I realized not a lot of people know how to yield, naturally speaking. And then I brought it over to the believer. I think sometimes we don't know how to yield. We don't know how to yield to the Holy Ghost. God starts to, you know, do something on the inside. What do? We stop. You got to wait for something else to happen. Hello? You know, in my observation, and you know, there's no condemnation in Christ. Okay, so if you've ever done this, I've done it. I'll be honest with you. I've done it. I've been in a service before, and you're like, man, that's a good word. That's a good word. The Lord's really moving. The anointing's really up there. And then the call is given, or a ministry time is given, and inside my heart I'm going, yeah, I could use a touch. I could use some ministry. And what do? Sometimes I'm just sitting there. What am I doing? I'm at the end of the yield ramp. Stopped. You see, yield is actually you give it some gas. Yeah. You got to give it some gas to get in the flow of traffic. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, you know, how many times you've been in a service where the anointing starts and only one person comes up, and then all of a sudden there's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The altar fills with people. Because they're waiting for something else to happen. Instead of them actually saying, you know what, I'm gonna do that. I'm first one in. I'm first one in the pool. Remember the crippled man at the pool of Siloam. Why won't you be healed? Well, nobody's there to put me in the pool. Right? Because if he was the first one in, the way that tradition and that supernatural work, if the waters were troubled, whoever was first in the water would get healed. You know, sometimes I think we forget that as believers, that sometimes we lay back, we don't respond to the Holy Spirit, we're not yielding to him. We're talking about a living faith. Mary and Joseph had the kind of living faith that said, I'm in. Before I ever saw anything. They had a relationship with God. They had the character to break through that confusion and say, I'm in. I'm in. You know, there have been times when I've seen God move incredibly in services. And it was the first person that walked down the aisle. The first person that troubled the waters, if you will. The first person that actually jumped in and said, I don't care who's looking at me. I don't care what is happening. I'm in for God. I'm all in. Mary and Joseph were all in their relationship with God. They yielded to the plan of Yahweh. They yielded to his plan. What about you and me? What about us? Have we yielded to those opportunities that God puts in our heart? Whether it's an opportunity to minister to somebody, to open your mouth, looking for that opportunity to give a living hope, to give a living faith to somebody this season, to actually say, hey, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? Can I just step out and yield to the Holy Spirit? Because God will give you these inklings that you need to just put the gas on. Put the gas on. See, you say, well, what's the gas? Well, first of all, we need to learn to yield. That means to retire from our own way. Right? Yield means to retire from my way and yield to His way. But if we're just yielding without putting the gas on, you say, Pastor, what's the gas? What's the gas? What's the gas? It's called obedience. That's the gas. It's obedience. Obedience to the plan of God. Obedience to that step of faith that you might need to take in order to get to the next place where He can meet you. I think that's part of the reason why Christ's birthday offering for us this year is going to be for our future. Right? Because that's a step of faith that we can walk into and say, okay, Lord, all right, what would you have me do? That's a step of faith. So what do we do? That's the yield to my own plan, right? Because sometimes, wouldn't it be a whole lot easier if somebody just, one person wrote a check for like $2 million so we could go buy a building? Wouldn't that be a whole lot easier? Wouldn't it? And we would take it. I would take it to the bank, Westchester Family Church. In case somebody is watching, it is Westchester Family Church, Mount Kisco, P.O. Box 935, or you can give online. If you did that, we would certainly deposit it, and we would find what we need, right? But faith doesn't always see the end. In fact, that would be our own senses, our own human reasoning, our own way of doing things. And isn't Joseph and Mary, didn't they retire and yield to God's way? And they put their own human reasoning aside. I think about Brother Adam's son, who had a really amazing scholarship somewhere, if I'm not mistaken. And at the last minute, God said, go to Bible school. There was already a cutoff date to start Bible school. But his son heard from God, yielded from his own way of doing things, and said, oh, I gotta go to Bible school. And it was miraculous. You can ask Brother Adam about this. Miraculous how everything just step by step by step just fell into place for his son. And he ended up meeting his wife.
Never came home.
Just an amazing young man that just what did he do? He yielded from his own way, retired. This was his plan, but God had a different plan. God had a different plan. And sometimes when you're in the middle of faith, a faith walk, God has a different plan. Maybe you're in a situation where you've got some confusing circumstances and it feels crazy around you. Don't rely on your own understanding. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto what? Your own understanding. But in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will what? Direct your path. So what is that? That's yielding. That's a yield. That's a living faith that says, I'm going to yield to His way. I don't get it right now. I can't see the end game. I can't touch the end game in the natural with my senses. But I know what's down here. And see, obedience dismisses the fact that you might look odd. Obedience says, you know what, I don't care what I look like. I don't care what this looks like. I know what is expected of me, what society, what the norms are, but this is what I need to do. This is what I need to do. You know, when this church started, there were people telling me different things. No, you can't do that. Well, why not? Well, because you'll starve. 20 years later, I haven't starved. I haven't seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. He has been faithful. He has been faithful. He has been faithful. He has been faithful. God is faithful. And when we take these steps of faith, and sometimes it feels like, I don't know what I'm stepping on. Peter got out of the boat because he didn't know what he was stepping on. Except for his word. What has God said to you? What is he saying to you? What is he challenging you to live by faith on? Stretching you a little bit further. Causing you to trust him a little bit more, because it's not about just mindless obedience. It's about a relationship. Faith is about a relationship. Mary and Joseph had the relationship. They gave it gas. When it was time to obey, they obeyed. They kept their character in check. They didn't compromise. They didn't worry about whether or not it was going to look odd, whether or not it looks right or not. I'm telling you, when I was 17, and you've heard the story, and sometimes things like this do bear repeating. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on it. I was 17. I had $500 to my name, and God said, go to Oral Roberts University. I didn't have any way of making that happen. But I could yield to his plan, right? I still honored my parents. My dad, to this day, if he's watching, he thought I was going to be home in 2 weeks. Because my mom's crying as I drive out of the driveway. She says, don't worry, he'll be back in 2 weeks. He's got $500. He'll run out. And we don't have any money to help him. True story. I didn't run out. Because he doesn't run out. See, when God puts something in your heart, or you are surrounded in a difficult situation you're believing God to get out of, we can take living faith and apply these principles. What's your character like? Are you yielding to the plan of God? Are you truly yielding to the plan? Has he made that plan? Because that's where you get the plan and the direction is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You trust, not in your own way. One of the things I've noticed is that a lot of times we're the ones who try to figure it all out. Well, if I just do this and do this and do this and do this, then that'll happen. How many of you have ever done that? That's a human thing to do. Part of it is that's the way you were created. It's a good thing as long as it doesn't interfere with what the God best thing is. You see, God's given you a great brain, a great mind to figure things out. You were made in the image of God. You are creative. You can problem solve. You can figure things out. But what is he saying for you to figure out? What did he give you to do? Because maybe, just like Joseph, maybe the instruction is a little bit out there. Sometimes his instructions make our mind go tilt. And I'll be honest with you, as a 17-year-old, I didn't think about failing. I hadn't lived long enough to realize that $500 was not enough to go to college. Thank God that I wasn't smart enough to figure that out.
How old are you?
Thank God I wasn't. I showed up the next day. I go to get my registration, go through, show up. Man looks at me and tells me my hair is too long. True story. I didn't know they had a hair thing. I didn't even know much about Oral Roberts University, only that I was accepted. And I thought, woo, I was accepted. God told me to go there. I'm accepted. I didn't even really even pay attention to the fact that they, at that time, tell you how inflation is gone, it was about $11,000 a year to go to school there. Now it's about 40. 38 to 40. And so I was like there. Of course, that was 40 years ago, right? So I get up, and the guy looks at my paperwork. He says, and it was getting, the line was getting clogged up. You know, isn't God good, though? The line was, I was there at the right time. The line was getting clogged up. So they were trying to figure out people's paperwork. So a guy looks at my paperwork and says, you go over there. He sent me through the prepaid line. Prepaid. I didn't prepay. I had $500 to my name. I did not prepay. They sent me to the prepaid line. Their accounting department didn't catch up to it till the spring semester. I'm like, glory to God, I'm in. Got my class schedule. And then I found out you could charge your books at the bookstore. I went and charged like $500 worth of books. I'm now at a net. I'm negative. But I still have my $500. And no job. But I got a job within a day. And it was literally a half a mile from the university. I'm telling you, you can't make this up. God will meet you wherever you are at. He says, yield to my plan. Yield means give it the gas and obey. That's what it means. It doesn't mean just wait for him to make you a puppet. God is not making us puppets. If he was, he'd make every one of you read your Bible every single day, pray, serve in the church, and witness constantly. That's what he would do. He would make all of you do that if you were all robots. And we all know that we're not robots. He gives us choice. And so when we understand that we respond to God out of a relationship, that's what Mary and Joseph did. They responded. What did Mary say? Be it unto me according to what? Your word. Whew. Think about the scorn that she could have endured had Joseph left her alone. Joseph and Mary showed character in the middle of confusion. They yielded through obedience. And let me tell you something. They chose faith rather than safe. See, the temptation of our human mindset is to choose safe. I'm not telling you that putting your seatbelt on is wrong. Do the wise things. Do the things like that. I'm not telling you to tempt God about certain things in your life. So don't take my reference to choose faith over safe to do something silly. But what I am saying is, you know what I mean by safe. You can play it safe with your walk with God. You can play it safe with how you give and use your time. You can play it safe, or you can say, I'm all in. It's what is in your heart. Mary and Joseph give us an example in the Christmas story. They did not choose safe. They both chose faith. Be it unto me according to your word. Joseph, go ahead and take Mary as your wife. The weightiness of that. I just want you to realize the weightiness. He did not choose safe. He didn't choose safe. In fact, he ends up running to Egypt with Mary. Why? Because Herod orders all the kids to be killed. under the age of, what was it, 2?
Yeah.
Do you realize he did not choose safe? He chose faith because of what that angel said to him. And God said, Joseph is a just man. I can entrust. I can entrust my son to grow up in his household. I can trust that he will train him up in the way he should go. I trust Mary to raise him. I trust Joseph to raise him. God didn't have a plan B. So what about you and me? What's your character like? Are you choosing? Are you choosing to live out your character in the middle of confusion? In the middle of chaos? Are you choosing to yield to God's plan? Yielding to Yahweh. That does require obedience. Obedience is the gas to get off the entrance ramp and onto the highway of faith. Obedience, it's action. What areas of God of your life is God asking you to give it the gas? Is it your prayer life? Is it your Bible reading as we approach a new year? Is it your service to the Lord? Is it, what can I do to see the gospel reach more and more people? A heart of obedience sometimes doesn't always seem logical. Why would you give up 2 or 3 or 4 or sometimes 6 hours of a perfectly good weekend day to be in a place called church? Why would you do that? To be with God's people, to be built up, to enjoy relationship, to enjoy love, to enjoy a community that cares, a community that rejoices when you rejoice, a community that grieves when you grieve, a community that says, how can I help when you're in a jam? That's why we do what we do. It may seem odd to the rest of the world. It may. Why, Sunday morning is my yoga day. Sunday morning is my gym day. It's my wash day. There's a lot of things that you could do. But I want to do what the Bible tells me. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as some are in the habit of doing. Doesn't mean you're not a Christian. Just means don't forsake that. There is a benefit not only to you, but there's a benefit that you bring. When I get, you know, today when Adam and I opened up this church, Adam just was, he was on a high from Friday night. And he's just sharing, just coming out of him. I didn't say, Adam, what did you think of Friday night? It just came out of him. Came out of him. Because that's the kind of person of character that he is. It came out of him, out of a relationship with God. He is happier than he's happy to be here early, to help set up, to do stuff. It doesn't. I have an English teacher for a wife. Thank you. It doesn't happen automatically. There's synergy in numbers. Yes. Amen. So praise God. The Lord's going to deal with how, in your walk of faith, He'll deal with you. Your heart. Don't play it safe. Play it faith. Go for faith. A heart that is full of faith is truly safe in the arms of God. See, the end result for Mary and Joseph was they became part of God's daring rescue plan for the restoration of mankind. By cooperating with God, in God's most amazing plan that was the most incredible event in human history. You see, our heart is always going to gravitate towards safe. Because faith trusts in what we is. I'm sorry, because safe trusts in what we see, what we reason, what we touch, what we smell, what we sense with our human faculties. But faith trusts in the God that isn't figured out by human reasoning. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is. Go ahead and turn there real quickly as we finish up today. Hebrews 11:1. This is, I believe, just a vital message for God's people. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I want a good testimony. I want a good testimony. You know, how do we respond? How do we respond? Well, remember this. Safe really isn't safe. It's really not. Wouldn't you rather be trusting in God? You know, I remember sitting in Bible school and hearing Brother Keith Moore say, I would rather be in a war zone with missiles flying over my head, being in the perfect will of God, than being in a nice, warm, cozy place somewhere else where there was nothing. Why? Because it makes you trust in God. Makes you trust in God because that's where your safety comes from. It comes from trusting in God. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, amen. Living faith. Lessons from Mary and Joseph. Hope you got something out of that today. I know it stirred my heart happy because I believe God is calling us to faith, to a deeper level in 2023. A deeper level of faith. That means a deeper level of trust. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for helping us. Thank you, Lord God, for ministering this word to this church for this time, for this season. God, for those that hear this word and this message as they live it out, a living faith that trusts in you. Even in the middle of confusion and chaos, we choose character, integrity, doing the right thing. God, we choose to yield to you, to give action to your plan that you reveal. To give action to your plan that you reveal. Father, that we truly would choose faith and not safe. Help us, Father God, to apply this word to our lives in the name of Jesus. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus, or you're watching online and you don't know the Lord Jesus, the first step is to become a Christian, to become born again by the Spirit of God, to believe in your heart that Jesus is who he said he is, that he came, he died for your sins. God raised him from the dead, and he is alive today. And if that's you and you want to receive his forgiveness and receive Jesus into your life, you can lift up your hand. If you want to recommit your life, you can lift up your hand. If you are watching online, you can pray with us a simple prayer that we're going to pray together right now. Just say, Father God, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for my sins, that he was raised from the dead. I receive Jesus and his forgiveness into my life. And I choose Jesus as my Lord and Savior from this day forth in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or you prayed it as an act of recommitment in your life, I want to know about it. I want you to tell somebody. We want to give you some materials and help you in your walk with God. If you live far away, we'll help you find a church. If you live near us, we want to see you right here at 27 Radio Circle, Mount Kisco, New York, 10:45 on Sundays. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's stand our feet. We have our sending out verse right now. Psalm 121, 7 and 8 is our sending out verse. Psalm 121, 7 and 8. Hallelujah. You ready? The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121, 7 and 8.